You see the communion table before us this morning, and we will be sharing in communion this morning, but we're going to want to get our hearts right before we share in that communion. What a blessing to see all the children. Praise the old Lord. Bless. Reveal yourself to them. We began our series in the Believe with this declaration. I believe the God of the Bible is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use as our key verse for that first statement was 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Note, in that verse we see that God, the God of the Bible, is a relational being. From eternity past to eternity future, God has been and will always be in a full, loving relationship within the context of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last week, we made the declaration, I believe God is involved in and cares about my daily life. And our verse last week was Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So, the God of the Bible is indeed the one true God. And this one true God created you and me to be in a loving, personal relationship with Him. God cares about you and cares for you and me personally and wants to be involved in our daily lives. That's the good news. In your bulletins, you have a little insert. If you want to keep up with some notes, there's some blanks there. We'll cover some of this as we go through. But here's the bad news. The bad news is that sin has broken our relationship with God. If you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis first chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, when God made Adam and Eve, He placed them in the garden. And they enjoyed not only a perfect environment, but they also had a perfect relationship with God. And God looked down at all He created and declared that it was very good. But then Satan entered the garden, tempted Eve and Adam. Adam and Eve rejected God's word. They rejected God's authority, and they questioned even the goodness of God. And they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned. And immediately, the relationship God intended to have with them was broken. Look here at verse 6 of chapter 3. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable to gain wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. They sinned. Here's a simple definition of sin. Sin is anything that takes precedence or priority over God. Sin is anything that takes precedence or priority over God. It doesn't matter what it is. Alcohol, drugs, illicit relationships. Or could even be my job, my family, mother, father, brother, sister, child. If it's more important to me than God and my relationship with Him, then it's sin. And as a result of sin comes death, separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is separation of us from God. Verse 7 goes on, then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. Adam and Eve had a relationship with God that we can't even begin to imagine. Could you imagine the song? I love the old song, He walked with me and talked with me in the garden. They literally did. Walked with God, but they chose the fruit over God. They chose to follow their will over God's will. Again, verse 7, then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin brought shame, since they knew that they were naked and they hid themselves from God. Sin brought death to the relationship God wanted to have with them. Relationship Adam and Eve and their descendants from them on would be broken. It was dead. But before the ink on the death certificate of this relationship could dry, God steps in. But the Lord, verse 9, but the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Right here, from the moment that sin entered in and the relationship between man and God was pronounced dead, God steps in and calls us back. He calls out to us because he now wants to restore this relationship. But what was Adam and Eve's response? I have to say, they did what many of us do today. They ran from God. Rather than face God and be held accountable to God, they hid themselves in the garden. They tried to cover up their sin by sowing fig leaves. We might not sow literal fig leaves, but we try to cover up our sin with relativity. Well, compared to that guy, I'm really doing pretty good. I'm relatively good. Maybe God will give me a pass. Maybe I'm good enough. Or maybe we use the fig leaves of works. I go to church, I take care of my family, and I stop short of murdering anyone. Come on, no one's perfect, but I try hard. Some try the fig leaves of sincerity. Doesn't matter what path you're on, as long as you're sincerely seeking it. Your path may take you longer than my path, but eventually, if we stick with it, we will get there. We are in a broken relationship with God. We start out that way because we are born spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God because of Adam's sin. But that sin nature is confirmed in us when we sin ourselves. We are condemned because of our own sin. But just like in the garden, when God called out to Adam and Eve, he calls out to you and offers a restored, renewed relationship with himself. The bad news is that sin has broken our relationship with God. But the good news is that God wants to restore our relationship with him. And that leads us to our declaration this week. I believe a person comes into right relationship with God by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe a person comes into right relationship with God by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Our verse for this week, I'd suggest you try memorizing. This is a great verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Before we go further, I want to insert something here, but I think it's important. In the time that the New Testament was written, Greek, the language was the trade language. It was the common language of the Roman Empire. Everyone where they were born, there was a local dialect, a regional language that they would have spoke. But if you wanted to do business, if you wanted to do trade, if you wanted to communicate with people outside of your own community, Greek was the language that was common across the Roman Empire, and most people could speak it, and some could read it. So when the writers of the New Testament wrote the New Testament, they wrote using the Greek language. So as the letters would go forth, everybody could understand. It's interesting to note that when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, the Greek word he uses here in verse 8, translated for us, saved, is the exact same Greek word that Jesus uses back in Luke 8:48. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is walking along, and there's this huge crowd around him. And the crowd is this woman who's been bleeding for 10 years, and she reached through the crowd only to touch his hem. And as soon as she touches the hem of his garment, Jesus knows that the power has come out of her, out of him, and she was immediately cleaned. Jesus turns to the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" No one came forward. And finally she did and admitted that it was me. And in verse 48, Jesus looks at her and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." In some translations, it's has made you well. Go in peace. the word that Jesus used in Luke 8:48 that's translated healed or made well is the exact same Greek word that Paul uses for saved in Ephesians 2:8. The root of the word salvation in this image, it carries this image of restoration. We are restored back to wholeness of health and spirit. Now, because we find salvation in Jesus Christ, that does not mean automatically we will be healed physically, at least on this side of heaven. But it does mean you should now be a different person. It's crucial to salvation. Now stay with me just a little bit more. I know I'm getting a little technical here, but I think you'll catch it if you hang in here. If we look up the word salvation, the word salvation used in the New Testament, it's used 45 times, and it means straightforward what it says, salvation, to be delivered. We read it in Acts 4:12. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter is speaking before the Jewish council, and he's told them about Jesus, and he said to them, which gives us both the word salvation and saved. In verse 8, or Acts 4:12, Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given that men by which must be saved. You see both words, salvation and saved. Peter is telling us our deliverance, our salvation comes from only one person. Through Jesus Christ are we saved, restored back to a relationship with the living God. It's interesting to me that the root word of the word salvation is the same Greek word for Savior. I think that's amazing. It's cool what you can learn when you come to church, isn't it? This kind of puts it all together for me. Jesus, who is our Savior, is the one in whom we find salvation, deliverance, so that we can be restored, rescued, healed, made well, which all means that we have been saved. When we ask if someone is saved, meaning are they a Christian, we are really saying, have you been restored? Have you been made well? It is well with my soul. Are you a new creation because you have been delivered by Jesus? How do I get this salvation? How do I have a restored relationship with God? If you don't have it, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll look again at this key verse this week. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul writes, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul is telling us that salvation is a gift. We receive this gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We don't deserve it. That's what grace means. When we receive this gift, we believe, we have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. It is God's grace. God giving us something we totally do not deserve, yet God offers us this gift. And if we believe in Jesus, if we receive Jesus, we will be saved. There's nothing you can do to earn this salvation. You can't give money, work, do good works, or be kind enough to animals or children or homeless. You can't do enough to deserve this salvation. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, accept His death as the payment due for your sins, you are saved from the wrath of God, from the just penalty you deserve for your sins in this life. But you're also saved, restored, returned to healthy living, right relationship with God our Father. Paul tells us that we are saved through, not by faith. Faith is the conduit to which connects us to what saves us. What is the object of our faith? Over and over again in the New Testament, we are told that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Just a handful of verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Again, in 2 Timothy 3:15, and how from childhood you even been acquainted with the sacred writings, that is the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In Acts 2:21, we're told, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's just a sampling of what the New Testament tells us, that Christ and faith in him alone is what it takes to be restored to the right relationship with God our Father. So how do we do this? How do we receive this gift? How are we restored? I'm going to ask you to turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is my TNT, my dynamite verse, because there's power in this verse. TNT, 10, 9 and 10. This is Romans. This is how I remember things. I have to go through those jumps. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If anybody would ever come up to you and say, how do I get saved? How do I come to know your Savior, your Lord? Take them to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Look at this verse as Paul writes. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the object of our salvation that we rightly understand that he is Lord, Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, that he died on the cross, he was raised again on the third day, and he died to pay the penalty that I deserve. For it is with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You have to believe in your heart, not just with your head. This is not just an acknowledgement that this is true, but it's true for me. And you start by confessing with your mouth that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God who died in my place. And if you do this, you will be saved, redeemed, restored, made well. Your spirit will be cleansed. God will now declare you to be justified, made righteous in his sight. And it will be a day to celebrate. You see, salvation is more than just getting your ticket punched so you can get into heaven when you die. Salvation and eternal life begins on the day that you embrace a relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's about becoming a new person on this side of heaven, that the world on the outside can see the difference. It's helping the world to see a new you. And the world marvels at how you have changed. And they celebrate the new person. And you go into the world to seek to be a part of the great change, the revival that God wants to bring around us. So we ask God to forgive us our sins. We repent, we turn from our sins, saying, no longer my will, but thy will. And we turn to God. And we put our trust and we believe it in our hearts. Christ sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to lead us in all truth and righteousness. We begin the process of transformation as we are restored and renewed in this relationship, and we live in that relationship right now. And it's only going to get better. We turn our lives, our hearts, our spirit over to God so God can continue to cleanse us, to make us whole. In a couple of minutes, we're going to share communion. I'm going to ask Zach to come on up and get ready. But before we share communion, I want to take a moment and pause. When we share communion, this is the celebration. This is remembrance that it was indeed Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And it is Christ who gives us new life. We receive that life through faith, but it is his gift. And there might be some here this morning that you've never made that point of confession. You've never said, this is mine, I own this. So before we share our communion, I want to give you a moment. And I'm going to ask those who have made that decision, who know Christ and have been restored in that relationship, pray. Invite the Holy Spirit to move on the hearts of those who are here that don't yet know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, He's seeking you. He's calling out to you right now. And you just simply, in faith, turn to Him and trust Him. And your confession may simply be as simple as this: Father, God, I have sinned against You by what I've done, by what I've left undone. And You have called out to me so that our relationship could be restored. You've called out to me through Your Son, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross in my place. And I receive this gift of salvation that comes through my Savior. Now send Your Spirit to restore me, that I might walk in this relationship with You, that I might be a witness to others for You. It's as simple as that. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to invite you to see me or one of the elders, one of the men who will be sharing with the communion, and let us help you understand what that means and how to live and walk out in that. Because today has changed your life forever if you've received that. And maybe you're here this morning and you've made that decision somewhere a long time ago or some time ago, and you've kind of lost your way a little bit. This is the opportunity to renew and restore that relationship. God's calling out to you as well. He's not left you. He loves you. And if you've chosen other directions and you've put other things in place of Him as a priority over Him, then confess it. Cry out and let the love of Christ embrace you. I ask the men to come forward as we prepare to receive the elements. We at Christ Community share what we call an open table. That means you don't have to be a member of this church body to be partake in this. But I do ask you that you're a member of the body of Christ, that you have made that profession of faith, that you have indeed received Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are a new creature in Him. And if you're not, maybe we're going to continue to pray for you that you will come to that, but I'm going to ask that you just let the elements pass by and just observe that what we do here this morning, because there's a warning in Scripture that's clear. If we take this in an unworthy manner, there's judgment that God will put up. So parents, if your children have not yet put their faith in Christ, I encourage you to let the elements go past them and pray that one day they will understand this and they will be able to share in this. On the night that our Lord Savior shared His last meal with His disciples, His followers, He broke bread and said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." He would pay the penalty in His own flesh and blood for our sins. After supper, He took this cup in the same way. He said, "This cup is the covenant, the new covenant in My blood, which is shed, poured out for you, that we might be cleansed, made new, restored in a living relationship." Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to receive this, Lord, with pure hearts. We ask in His name, amen. We're going to distribute the bread first. We'll wait till everyone has gotten served, and then we'll eat together. Also, Mike has a gluten-free bread. If those who, for dietary reasons, need gluten-free, there is just get Mike's attention, and he will bring it to you.